In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Today's Gospel is noted for the shortest sentence in the Bible. Jesus wept. So well known that it's even a kind of oath in English, said in times of great stress and excitement on occasion. It's not a frequent oath. Has its place. And the question I'd like to address for you this morning is, why does he weep? Now, the crowd around Martha and Mary, whom St. John calls the Jews, and when St. John says the phrase the Jews, he means the people who are always wrong in substance. So, because they're all Jews. Everybody's a Jew there. Our Lord, Martha, Mary, the disciples, everybody. John. So for him it means the ones who are wrong. And they say that, look, but our Lord is weeping because he loves Lazarus and Lazarus is dead. So we can be pretty sure they're wrong. That's not why he's weeping. But why is he weeping? What is the meaning of this passage in St. John's Gospel? Notice it's accompanied with groans. He says two or three times that our Lord groans. Nowhere else in the Gospel of John do I know of where our Lord groans, let alone weeps. So what is this scene? And I would like to put you a proposition that we consider this scene in St. John's Gospel like the Garden of Gethsemane in the three other Gospels. Remember, that's where our Lord groans and prays that the cup be taken from him. In other words, the standing before Lazarus' tomb is the Gethsemane, you could say, of St. John's Gospel. And why is that? Because it's the decisive moment. After he weeps and groans, he says, Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus comes out. And the people, we heard, believe. And this is the background to Palm Sunday. This is why they're turning out in their droves, because they've heard of this miracle. And they're waving their palm branches and they're shouting, Son of David, Hosanna to him who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the house of our father David. Well, this is kingly talk. Yes, they're welcoming the proper King of Israel demonstrated by his command over the dead. And that is then what seals our Lord's fate. What makes his death inevitable. Because the authorities will hear that one is pretending to be Messiah, and they will act. Both the civil authorities, like the governor Pilate, who in his tenure showed no hesitancy whatsoever in lining the roads of Palestine with crosses if he thought that was necessary to maintain Roman power. And the religious authorities, because those who run the temple are on to a good thing. The main moneymaker in the region. And they know full well that a Jewish revolt, as happened 30 years after our Lord, will destroy them and the temple. So anything that gets the Romans riled up they don't want, and they will suppress. So our Lord, standing there before the tomb of Lazarus, knows this. He knows that his word of life will bring down that huge pile of evil, ambition, fear, jealousy, grasping at position, all the sickness of the world, which is piled up, you can imagine, piled up behind the tomb like some great deadfall. And his word is going to unleash that deadfall, and it will all fall on him. And he knows it. So it's in the face, I suggest, of that evil, of the force of the world's malice, that will lead inevitably to the cross, to his death, that he weeps and groans as at Gethsemane. And this is the first of Palm Sunday's ironies, which there are several, but that's for tomorrow. The first of his ironies is that this word of life that he speaks, the voice of the word who brought the creation into being that will pull Lazarus from Hades, from the realm of the dead, this same voice of life will be the direct cause of his own death, will bring into play the forces that will crush out his earthly life. And he knows it, as he knows all things and gospel, as he walks into Palm Sunday with eyes open, the only one who knows. So to that everlasting patience and long suffering, we give glory and thanks today to the Father and the Spirit forever. Amen.
Amen.